Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Maureen, this is the last time we're going to have you amongst us for a little while because you're off to Australia.
Hopefully. Still waiting for the visa.
Maureen's flying out next week.
Next
Wednesday, and we're recording this on Monday, which is about 8 days before Maureen flies to Australia, and the visa hasn't arrived. Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith. It's ever the way. I've done these many, many times, and the people running it are never stressed because they know the visa's always come the day before or 3 days before. But when you're waiting for your visa, it's like, oh my God, how is it ever going to arrive? But this is what happens. The Australian embassy are going, well, you don't need it until the day you fly, so why are you worried?
Which is fair enough.
But that doesn't help you.
No. I would like to have the visa, probably before I bought the ticket, to be honest, but I think you've got to have a ticket in order to get the visa, so that doesn't work. But yeah, I am, yeah. But I'm packing, so fingers crossed.
Oh, yeah. Start packing a week before. I do that. When I'm going on a long-haul flat, I start flat? Am I going on a flat? I'm going on a long-haul
flight.
It's very similar. Flight, but you're horizontal. I get the suitcase out and it's just there. And then I'm like, so I can see what's in there every now and again. I'll check and go, all right, I've got that. It's the only time you'll ever see me looking vaguely organised.
Yeah. And I've just started packing. And also I've had quite a hectic week because Jamie got spayed. And I didn't realise it was such a big operation, which is weird coming from a woman who's had a hysterectomy.
She's having a womb removed and her ovaries.
And then I made the rookie error. I made the rookie error of getting the bag out before I picked up Jamie, who saw the bag, ran for it. And so you just basically had me in the middle of the room going, come here, Jamie, while she ran around. It didn't really work as a plan. And then eventually I got hold of her, trying to get her into the bag. That was another fight. Then she came back and she had this big, what I thought was a weird looking plaster on her side, but it turned out to be her skin. And because obviously they shaved the fur.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
I mean, I do know what happens when a cat is spayed. Maureen.
Yeah, but it was like this big kind of greyish.
How do they think? Do you think they just put their finger up her bum and pull her uterus
I'm
out?
I'm not a doctor. I'm not a vet, am I? And
no, but you're a woman.
And then she's got this cone on her head, right? So since she's a very clever cat, since she came out the basket, the cone was off. Put it back on. Go into the kitchen. Come back. Cone is off. Jenny comes around for dinner. We're chatting away. Jamie appears. Cone is off. So Jenny bought me some little costumes you can put to cover the... Because you don't want them biting the thing. So you can't see it if you're not on a Patreon. But I bought her... Oh, Jenny bought her this, right? This little outfit so she can't...
Oh, it's like a little nightie that you put over top of them.
Yeah, so she can't get to her scar. Anyway, this morning, Jamie comes and wakes me up by standing on me. This is off.
Right.
How the hell did she get this off? Like, that's how I found it on the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't see this, obviously, because this is not a visual medium, podcast listeners, but I can...
It's a onesie.
What I can say to you is that it's kind of a onesie where the cat will put its front legs through the arms at the front and back legs through the back, and then it's buttoned down the tummy.
But this
of the
is
cat.
This is stuck at the top,
and it's so kind of like, yeah, there's a button at the collar so that she can't get. Yeah, but it's stretchy. She's a Kit Kat. Have you seen what cats can get through? They can get through.
Yeah.
You can think that you've closed the door, and the cat will just slide through.
It took me ages to figure out how to put the fucking thing on. She's managed.
Maureen,
honestly,
I don't. Is this,
you can't make a cat do what they don't want to do. A cat's going to always, you know, they are their own independent being. Yeah.
I don't want to challenge your practical abilities and your prowess, your agility.
My dexterity.
And your dexterity and center of gravity. But when it comes to all of those things, Jamie wins. Okay.
Yeah,
so
always.
Don't start comparing yourself to the cat.
I'm going to lose, aren't
I? Can you jump 6 feet up onto a wall? No, none of us can, but the cat can. Maureen, I don't know what to suggest. It's a really tricky thing. I mean, she's got her cone on at the moment.
Yeah, I put it on this morning. She doesn't like me putting it on.
I know. She's probably thinking, why are you making me wear this ridiculous thing? But how long has she got to wear it for?
She's got to wear it for another week, apparently.
Oh, God.
It's going to be a very long week.
I'm sorry. It's going to be a long week.
And in other news, I took my dad, I had a third birthday party. My dad took me to the Ivy. That wasn't his idea, it was mine. And on reflection, probably not the best choice because he spent most of the lunch complaining about the fact he paid £7 for half a pint of beer. That was the main topic of conversation.
Yeah, I saw that on your socials. Absolutely.
I mean, you should have gone to Spoons, shouldn't you, if you're going to
We should have gone. There's a really nice Greasy Spoon in Victoria. We should have just gone there.
Should have gone there. Why are you taking your dad to the Ivy?
Yeah, it was a bad move. Bad. Rookie error again. Rookie error.
Well, to be fair, it is your birthday.
Yes, that's true.
And so it's not unfair to go somewhere you want
that's
to go
true.
On your birthday.
And then he was really funny. He went, I was going to give you £100 for each year you're born, but then I decided on £1 for each year. And I was thinking I'd rather have gone for the former, to be honest.
Sure.
£38. It's not enough, is it?
£380 would have been
not
a lot
enough
better.
To live on. 380 would have been better. But as your dad's probably not fully aware of what your age is, you could have said any age.
I mean,
I'm 200, Dad.
Yeah.
So that would have been £200.
I tell you, my dad doesn't actually know how old I am. I mean, he doesn't even know
I don't think he knows how old he is. Yeah. He doesn't even know your name. He thinks you're called Mavis. So don't expect him to know how old you are.
How was your weekends, guys? Weeks, sorry, not weekends.
Alison, what about you?
Good. Good. Jen and I just stared at each other. Who's going first?
I
had a good week. I did shows, of course, doing my tour. My shouts out. Okay, shout out. Yeah, because I always have people who come up after to say they love the Patreon. So shout out to Ruth, Helen, and Jenny. They really made a point to be like, we are WTB listeners. So I was like, I will say your name on the podcast.
Say your name.
Exactly. Thank you. So thank you so much for coming out. And you are so lovely. Helen's been along. She's loving. She's going back. I was like, oh, wait till you get to episode number one, Behind the Bins, where it all began.
Oh, yeah. You got to go Behind the Bins. You're not really a WTB listener if you haven't gone behind the bins with us.
And that's not even a euphemism. It is
no, it's
actually
very much what Maureen had to do. It was quite something. We were all like, oh, well, this has really set the tone of how this podcast was going to be
so
and
good.
What it was going to do.
I forgot about that. Yeah, standing in the garden.
Yeah.
That was 2020. Wasn't it?
Yeah. Neighbours' mm-hmm. bins. It wasn't even my bins.
When we couldn't even get near each other. Oh, God, I miss those days.
I was going to say, now we just do that by choice, isn't that?
Yeah, I mean, now we still don't get near each other, to be fair. That's true. So where were you? Where was your tour show?
I had two this week. Where was I? I was in Nottingham, which was lovely.
Great.
At the Canal House. What a great little upstairs room they have. It's lovely there. And they have a bunch of shows. I'm really impressed with them. It's like a constant festival going through there. A lot of people doing one-person shows. It was awesome. And then Manchester on Saturday, which was...
Manchester.
Yeah.
Where were you in Manchester?
At a place called Fierce Bar, which...
Yeah.
again, I have to say, they are just growing, and supporting so many great artists. So many. Nick Helm just did a preview there.
Oh, like, fantastic!
Yeah, so Fierce Bar, it was lovely. It was so fun, and a lot of people. My accountant was there. Yes, he bought a ticket.
It's tax deductible.
Exactly. Yeah, it was work. He's checking to see that you're doing what you say you do. Yeah.
I'm sure he was just calculating in his head, is this what it's like for her every night? No, it's not, Michael. That is not my every night, just so you know, Michael.
So. That must have been so fun with all of your pals.
It was. So many people that I knew there. Vicky, lovely supporter, Vicky of comedy, who has been a longtime supporter of this podcast, comes to all shows. Thank you, Vicky, for coming. Yeah, there was just a lot of, you know, it was so sweet. She's come to all my shows. So she's like, I remember the first time you tried to do this a year ago. I was like, oh, my God, you were at that?
She's like, oh, wow.
I've been in all of them, Allison. So she was like, it's really changed and grown. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. So, yeah, real fun.
That's great, Allison. I can't believe it. So how many shows in are you this tour? What then?
What am I at? Six? Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
And hopefully we're going to keep growing. So if anyone has suggestions of little areas where you think you could get in a little group of people, let me know because I want to keep going. Yeah.
Go to Norwich. I recommend Norwich.
Norwich.
Yeah. Right. Norwich has got a nice, there's smaller spaces to perform at and the audiences are lush. I can definitely recommend you go there. There's loads of places. We'll talk. I'll recommend best audiences. We can't say it out loud on the podcast because people might be like, what are you talking exactly. about? We're brilliant in Winchester. I mean, jury's out, actually.
You, Jen, what was your week? Yeah, what's your week been like?
Me? Oh, well, my week happened. I had a day off on Friday. What a delight. That was absolutely outstanding. I went for a swim. Yay! Then I went for... a coffee. Oh my God, I love coffee so much. Then the swim club that I go to, which is just on the beach, a lot of the women go to the same cafe every day. And I like to avoid people. So I was like, I'll swerve that cafe. But this time Chloe's like, I want to check that cafe out. Anyway, we went. It is so good. The woman that runs it is a young woman and she makes her own cakes. More in your head would explode. She makes her own cakes, but it's not like, so normally when someone makes a cake, it's like maybe two cakes. Oh, we got a lemon drizzle and we got,
Victoria's sponge,
or whatever. Yeah. No. There's like eight different types of cake, right? Then all these kind of, I don't know what you call them. I think they're sort of Turkish pastries and they're savory. I had one filled with potato and onion. And I nearly died. It was so good. Then I bought a slice of cake. I don't really eat cake, as you know. I'm not really that fussed about it. But I was like, this cake looks too good to not eat. I ate the cake. It was incredible. I said to her, have you done Bake Off? You've got to get on Bake Off. This is the kind of stupid thing that I think she's going to love this chat. She's going to go, you're right. I should go on Bake Off. This poor young woman, probably, I think she's Turkish, was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I went, it's a show. And she went, I don't really watch TV. It's on Channel 4.
I'm busy making six cakes a day. I don't have time to watch TV.
I was like, she was like thinking, I don't finish till 9:45 every evening baking cakes. I was like, do you know what? I'm going to reverse that this conversation. Now that I've started telling you about how you should bake cakes. I do it for a living. Anyway, I'm going to go back. There's basically the bottom line because... The other thing that, in fact, I've got to save the bit that annoyed me because it's going to be my goat. So I won't bring it up now, but there was a bit that annoyed me. Suffice to say, I can't even talk about it now because it was so irritating. And then I went out for lunch. Can you believe this? So I went for a swim. I had a coffee. Then, not even lunch, kind of brunch. Brunch that went into lunch. Honestly, it was the best day of my life. I was like, and then it got to 4 p.m. and I was like,
no, you don't have to rush anywhere.
I'm actually working tonight. On a Friday. I don't have to rush anywhere. I don't have to get out of the house. I don't have to. Holy moly. This is the new me. I'm looking in my diary going, what can I take out so I can experience that again? Anyway, that was the highlight of my week. And I don't really feel like I need to mention the rest of the week because it was crap.
Yes.
Anyway, we've all had weeks, haven't we?
Yes.
We're sad that Maureen... This time next week we'll be in Australia. So we're going to drink in her pixelated image.
Or trying to get through customs.
It's on its way. The visa's on its way.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's how it works as you're going through passport control. But anyway, for the last time in this format for a little while, because Maureen will be giving us a bit more in moments, but we are going to be getting them telephoned in. Let us go to the younger person that her name is Maureen. She's a year older, but we won't go into that. And ask her what her theme of body moment is.
Me and Jen were in the jacuzzi. I had this new swimming costume on and the top was actually around my neck. So I was flashing Jen and completely unaware of it.
Completely topless. Tankini round her neck. That would have been the first indicator to me. I'd be like, what is this around my neck?
No, didn't notice. Well, this features your good self, actually, Jen.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's from June and I kept meaning to do it and other Beemal Maureen's got in the way. So, Alison, you might know this, that Jen isn't a great fan of my photography skills. She gets annoyed because, you know, apparently they're not in focus, little things like that. The grease film that's usually on my camera due to sticky fingers, it tends to piss her off. Anyway, we were at the Pergamon Museum.
In Berlin. Are you talking about
Berlin? In Berlin, yes. And there's a very famous gate there. It's the Ishtar Gate, which was the eighth gate to the inner city of Babylon. And it's absolutely stunning. And Jen went, can you take a photo of me and my brother in front of this really famous gate? It's one of the things that the museum is known for. So I took the photo. Jen wasn't that happy with it because I made sure, because I think it's very important when you take a full body shot to get the feet in. So I made sure I got the feet in, but unfortunately missed out the top of the gate.
Can't see the gate.
You can see bits of the gate, but you can't really see them. Well, you can't see the top of it.
I said to Maureen, why have you not taken a picture of the gate? She said, oh, I wanted to get your feet in. I said, but I really wanted a photograph of Stephen and I in front of the gate. You know, like, so the gate is behind us. We don't need our feet in it. People know we've got feet. I know I've got feet. And Maureen went, no, you've got to get your feet in.
You've got to get the feet in. It looks
weird
otherwise.
I said, well, I didn't want the feet in. I wanted the gate in because I've got loads of pictures of me. I know I've got legs. I know I've got feet. You can do, because it is possible, isn't it?
I often do those shots. I often do those shots. Get my legs out.
A waist length. Yeah. Yeah. You don't. Yeah. How often do you take a picture and go, this, I can't take it because I can't get your feet in. This is an absolute nightmare. I mean, headshots must be a disaster for you, Maureen. You're spending the whole time trying to wrap your legs around your neck to get your feet in the picture. Oh, this isn't going to work you can't see my feet.
No, that's different. But I did take quite a bit of picture of the floor. There's a lot of floor in it.
There is actually, a lot. This is the other thing, Alison, is that Maureen took a picture of me.
I'm just going to look it up now, actually.
There's quite a lot of pictures.
There's quite a lot of floor. There is quite a lot of floor in the picture.
I think there's quite a lot of floor.
Quite a lot of floor. Then my feet and none of the actual gate. But anyway, look,
There's not that much floor. There's a little bit of floor.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there's no point in showing it now. Well, Maureen, firstly, it's a pixelated picture because you're a pixelated image. We can stick it up on the WTB Instagram and you can have a look. But suffice to say, we didn't get the gate in. But it was nice to know. I know when I look at that photograph, because obviously Maureen sent it to me. I know when looking at that photograph that I'm there at the Pergamon, but otherwise it would be hard to tell, I would say. Would you agree, Maureen, or?
No, you can see a bit of the blue in the background.
Okay, all right. I guess if you'd been to the Pergamon,
you'd know.
Yeah, you would go, I think she's in front of the gate. But otherwise, it doesn't matter, Maureen. I appreciated the effort it took for you
to get my feet in.
Yeah. Because she did spend a long time, Alison.
I did spend a long time.
Do you know, yeah. She looked like she was really looking at, like, to the perspective.
This
is going to look great.
Did you check it at the time, Jen? Did you check
Yes. I checked it immediately and went, what the fuck is this? And she said, I don't know what
she said.
I got your feet in. And my brother, Stephen, ever the diplomat, because he's so used to me going from 0 to 500, just was like, oh, well, I think it looks good. And I was like, It doesn't look good, Stephen. It looks shit. Shut up, Stephen.
Shut up, Stephen.
Poor Stephen is like, but I think the whole time we were in Berlin, he was like, I think Maureen's just doing her best. I was like, well, it's not good enough.
Just doing her best. He's like,
oh. He got really, when I told him the story about how I didn't realise it was the Berlin Wall when I was in Berlin in the 70s. He was, I don't know, bemused is the word, but he did find that quite.
He did find it funny.
Yeah.
I found it. I was like, this is beyond the pale. And Stephen was like, that is hilarious. I mean, everything Maureen did, Stephen found hilarious, actually. So it was nice to have him there. Anyway, Maureen, that was a good one. I've forgotten that even happened. Congratulations. Yeah. You don't have to. Sometimes Maureen says to me, I don't have any Be More Maureens. I'm like, you do. You do.
You just got to remember them.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm actually really excited for you to go to Australia just so I can hear. There's got to be some good ones that happen.
As long as they don't involve any of their animals, because, you know, a lot of their animals can kill you.
Yes. If you see a spider and it's got a red spot.
Don't go near any spiders.
Yeah, I don't go near any. Yeah. I got bitten by a spider once when I was last in Australia. I can't really do an Australian accent, so I'm about to prove. And the woman just, I was on a tour trip and the woman went, oh, at least it's not so and so because you'd be dead by now. And I was like, oh, that's good to know because my legs swelled up.
Oh, God. That sounds like a classic Australian response. It's a bit like I worked in a banana plantation for not long. Don't worry. I couldn't hack it. I think I was there for about, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks before I was like, I've got to get out of here. And I was moving these bananas across this conveyor belt. There was a turned a banana over. There was a huge spider. Oh, no, actually, it wasn't huge. That's not even true. It was like a reasonably sized spider, actually. Okay. It was a normal size spider. And a woman opposite me on the other side of the conveyor belt picked up a banana and smashed it. And then the bananas carried on going and we kept turning them around and picking through them. Anyway, long story short, I said to her, that spider that you hit with a banana, what's that? It wasn't poisonous, was it? She went, yeah. I said, oh, so if that had bitten me, but it wouldn't have killed me, would it? She went, oh, yeah, if we didn't get you to a hospital in time, you'd be dead. I went, oh, how far away is the hospital? Ah, there's no one near here. I was like, oh, my God. This is my holiday. What am I doing? Anyway, good luck in Australia, Maureen. Anyway, it's time for us once again. We've gone from Maureen. She's had her moment, her Be More Maureen moment, but it's time to go to Alison because she is the woman we go to make sense of the world and ask, excuse me, Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice.
Cause I ain't using it.
No, no. No, no.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
Look, people are starting to write in again. Thank you so much. I cannot say how much I appreciate your problems or problems that you're sending in for other people. You could do that. You don't have to say it's your problem. You can just write in a problem and say it's for a friend. I am perfectly happy with that. Just give me your problems. Again, I am not a professional therapist or licensed anything, but I'm a gal who cares and I like to hear these things. So I've amalgamated a few again because there's a lot of people wrote in about various relationships. So here's my problem this week. I've amalgamated how to talk to someone, a friend, about a toxic relationship that they're in their life.
Ooh.
How do you begin to present that perhaps there is a relationship in somebody's life from an outside, but without it being, you know, you got to be delicate about these things. So how do you begin to talk to somebody about a toxic relationship? Now, when I say this too, I'm not just saying relationships like, you know, love interests. There's a lot of toxic relationships out there, friendships, family members. So this is, in general, all types of relationships. Okay, so number one, I think if you are chatting with somebody and they are talking about a relationship and you know it's toxic, the number one thing you got to do is you just got to listen. You just, look, if they're talking to you about it, good. That's an excellent step. Listen, listen, listen. I know you will be tempted to jump in and say things, But you really need to listen, because the more they talk, the more they will begin to hear things that perhaps aren't right within this relationship. So your number one thing is listen. Offer that supportive ear. Don't push them to end the relationship. I know that's our first instinct. We want to be like, get the hell out, get the hell out. Problem is, if you push too hard, they're not going to talk to you about this relationship. And they're not going to, you know, especially if, God forbid, you express your real opinions on the dingbat that they're with. Oh my God, that's a nail in the coffin, because they're not going to talk to you at all. So resist that temptation of going, this person is a fucking, you know, resist it. Okay. It's really hard. It's really hard. But if they feel you don't like that, or they, you know, that you don't like that, then they will not open up and be honest with you. So that's very important. Good things to kind of point out, maybe, that the relationship that they're in, talk about your own past experiences. And don't say things like, oh yeah, that reminds me. No. Talk about just certain situations you've been in, former relationships, friendships you've had. Another thing you can do, this is sneaky, talk about movies that you've seen that have a similar kind of situation in it. And be like, I can't believe that in that movie she stayed with, you know, then that her best friend was treated. And see what they say. Kind of beat around the bush by talking about a movie or a song or something. That way, it's kind of a delicate way, again, of getting them thinking about the situation that they're in without saying, because you're in a situation like that, you know, again, delicate. Make sure they know you're always there, right? No matter what, no matter how bad things get, because they might be embarrassed to say some things out loud. So no matter what, you are always there for them. You never judge them. You're always there. That is really important. Do you have other common friends or other people that you can bring into their life a little bit? Encourage them to hang out or spend time with other people that you know are like-minded like you, right? Sometimes the world gets small when you're in a toxic relationship. So as an outside perspective, can you find other people that are good? Arrange group outings with friends that you know are good influences on them. Okay, so try to help them not make their world small. Check in with them often. And just again, the biggest thing that I can say is really try to avoid to give unsolicited advice. And I got to tell you, that is the biggest problem that I face. My life, I love this. Look, and what I'm going to say is, if you're an unsolicited advice giver, what you should do is get a podcast and have people write in and you can exercise your demon that way. But for this situation, you really got to watch that and just be supportive, be loving, be there for them. The time will come when they will see it and you will be able to help them. But open lines of communication. That's my biggest piece of advice when helping someone in the early stages of recognizing that they are in a toxic relationship.
Allison, that's... Yeah. Yeah, that's good advice. I mean, I really struggle if I see someone that I care about with someone who I don't like.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm much better at it now, but certainly in the past I've gone, that fucking idiot. You know, I totally would have done that. And then they would have just said, right, well, I guess I'm not seeing you anymore.
Yeah.
Because I've chosen this person.
Yeah.
And that's always what happened. So yeah, that is good advice. The second you attack that person, then you're alienating your friend and you're asking them to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it takes a little bit of time to realize that person's not right for you.
Yeah.
You know, you know, like when you've got a bit of distance or you're one step removed, maybe it's a bit easier. But when that person is invested in whatever way, they don't necessarily want you to tell them that they're wrong either. So, yeah. Obviously, if it drags on and on and they're constantly in a situation where they're coming to you going, this person is a nightmare and for these reasons, then eventually you can go, maybe they're not the right person. But don't go in guns blazing. That's good advice. But it's hard.
Really,
I don't know.
Hard. Yeah.
There's lots of toxic twats out there that you want to kick in the dick, isn't there? But what are you going to do? You can't.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really did think, you know, it is hard because I really am an advice giver. Like, I want to help. So for me, a situation like that is very tricky. And I had a friend for years who was with a husband that she should not have been with. And I had to bite my tongue because I thought I'm one of the few people that she will say things to. And that is because I'm not going, well, no, even though I wanted to say what a piece of shit he was. And so when the time came, it was like, you know, I got to be like, pack your stuff. Do you have a storage unit? Like, it was go time. And it was so exciting at that point because we had waited so long and she had finally seen the light. So, like, I really do believe they will see the light. But it's tricky. It's tricky. So, yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
She's like, has just left. Yeah.
I don't know why, but I don't know where she's gone. I can hear Maureen
laughing. Maureen is laughing with other people.
We're like, in the middle of a podcast. Can this be my goat? Where's Maureen?
So have you two decided what's got your goat?
Well, I think we've done it, Maureen.
We've finished.
We've done it, and let's just say you were involved. Anyway, let's go light now. Yeah. It's time to get light, isn't it? It's time to talk about just the basic, what has entertained us over the last 7 days?
Well, I don't know about light, because I've just watched the first episode of True Detective. Night Country.
That was what I was going to talk about.
Is it?
Oh my God, it's so good.
Jodie Foster is amazing.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. Have you watched more than the one episode?
I've watched two now.
Yeah. I've watched one, so no spoilers because I've really no idea what the fuck is going on.
Okay.
It's so good.
Days. It is good. Are we all talking about this?
No, because I have a horror, but I am watching that. That is on the rotation right now.
So, do you want to explain?
Let's make it about this. So you go, Maureen, and then I'll add later.
Yes. Okay. So basically, 8 men. Disappear from an Arctic research station, which is in Ennis, Alaska. And it's just as there's no more day. So it's just dark the whole time.
So there's going to be 60 days of darkness in Alaska. So it starts on the first day of darkness, yes. 24 hours of darkness.
And the season stars Jodie Foster and Kelly Race as detectives Liz Danvers and Evangelina Navarro. And Angelina's definitely got a thing where she likes to protect women. So there's clearly some backstory there, but she's very, very supportive of women who are being abused. And her and Jodie Foster's character don't get on at all. One's a cop, one's a trooper. I don't really understand the difference.
One's for the town of Ennis, and one is a state trooper. She works in the state of Alaska, yeah.
And they think the disappearance of these men is connected somehow to the brutal murder of an Indigenous woman, Annie Kay, who was a bit of a, people thought of her as a troublemaker, and she was very fighting against the mine, and she was brutally murdered. And Fiona Shaw's in it as well. That's as far as I can tell you from the first episode. Jen, you take over.
No, that's it. So just to say that this town, Ennis, is a fictional town. It doesn't actually exist. It's in Alaska. It's a mining town, so it's very remote. So it's not like Anchorage, which is like a big city.
Yeah.
There is a history of like domestic violence in this town. anyway, that seems to be quite prevalent, irrespective of whether you're an Indigenous woman or a Caucasian woman. But it is quite clear that the Indigenous people that live in this small mining town are second-class citizens. You know, where they live, the water that they're getting isn't the same as the water where their reservation is or where their community lives. The water's gone bad, okay, because of the mines. And so the water that they're getting is black, and the water that people are getting in other parts of the town where it's more like white people, their water isn't great, but it's much better. And so there's that, you can see that there's this kind of two-tier society that's, that occurs here, depending on whether you're white or you're Indigenous. So that is also the backstory. And then the other thing to say is that these researchers, these eight men that have been living in this research facility, they're not just there for a couple of months. They're international. So they're from all over the world. They're from Spain or Central America and Canada and the UK. And these eight men in this research center have been living a very, what's the word? They're sort of, could they be
secluded, isn't it? Yeah.
Secluded. Yeah. They sort of keep themselves to themselves. But they're up in this research facility studying things about the environment, biology, but also looking into cures for like long-term diseases like cancer. But that's just the backstory. But the main thing to know about these eight men is that no one sees much of them. They get a delivery. But one thing has happened is that there's one of the guys that's at this research facility is starting to go a little bit odd.
Yeah,
he's going a little bit, he's been behaving a little bit strangely. And that's all we know. And that's all we're going to tell you about that story.
But it is
good. What I will say is that it is creepy as hell.
Yep.
It has got great suspense. The acting is, I mean, like Jodie Foster's character is brilliant in as much as...
It's not particularly likable at all, is it?
No.
No, it's completely unlikable. But if you flipped it and she was not... She was a man, and that was that character. Like, I was trying to think of that character. If that character was a man, he'd be mean, he'd be broody, women would find him attractive, you know, everyone would want to fuck him. But it's Jodie Foster being mean and moody. So everyone's like, she's a fucking bitch. Everyone thinks she's a bitch. I mean, that said, she does get laid a lot.
Well, you go move to Alaska.
I haven't got to that bit yet. There's not a lot of women in Alaska, are there?
No,
there's a shortage
odds
of women.
Are good if you're a gal.
Three
you
to
can...
three men, I think, to one woman or something.
Yeah, great.
I know where I'm going for holiday.
Oh yeah, I'd love to see you in Alaska.
I don't want to be on that list. I'm like, oh, guys, I'm also not on this list. I'm so sorry. Also, it's then you see that Jodie Foster's got a backstory as well. She has a daughter that's not her biological daughter, but is also a young and Indigenous girl who is just a typical teenager. Yeah. You know, she's in love. We think she's a lesbian, their relationship is weird.
Yeah,
like Jodie Foster clearly cares for this girl, but is incapable of showing it.
Yeah.
Of showing her actual love, but she obviously does really care about
her. Sorry,
Ever.
That's a weird relationship between a mother and a daughter. That's weird, okay. Is it?
But it's definitely in a way that where there's no like verbal or physical acknowledgement of of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
like
I do.
Oh, I can't really relate to that.
I know.
Like... Yeah, well, your mum was exceptional at that, actually, Maureen. But it was... it's really good. It's there's loads of suspense. The end of the first episode is holy crap.
Yeah. That's what I've got.
Yeah.
The end of the first episode, you're like, what the what? It's quite gruesome, but it's not gory.
Yeah.
There is a supernatural element to it because I think there's something about being out there in the ice and in the dark that makes people go a bit. Not crazy, but see the dead.
Oh, no. But I think if you're in the darkness for like 60 days, you are going to go a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just weird.
Well, that's what they said. I mean, there's a bit of exposition there where they kind of infer that. It's like, you know what it's like? We're out here in the dark. We all see the dead. You know, like, that's not unusual. So there is a little bit of an inference that but Fiona Shaw is, as always, enigmatic in it. Very watchable. still trying to figure out how her character fits in, but she is very integral, particularly in the first episode. And I think it's going to be an absolute banger of a series. And also I love that this is the first True Detective where the main characters are women. The detectives are women.
Yeah.
The detectives are in this dark, cold, creepy environment. We're not out in the blaring sunshine like they usually are. And, oh, wow, what a series. I love that. Do you know what, Maureen? I wasn't sure whether to recommend it to you because it is a little bit eerie and I wasn't sure if you'd like that.
No, I really, you know, you always know if you're enjoying a program if you don't look at your phone while it's on.
Yes.
That's my test. If within about 5-10 minutes I'm on my phone, I'm like, yeah, this is not for me. But yeah, I thought it was brilliant.
Well,
still no idea what's going on, but
yeah. Okay. Well, what I would say is don't watch any more now.
And you watch it on the...
Download them.
And have them for the play.
An episode comes out today. An episode will come out next Monday. And then you'll have another 4 episodes to watch on the plane. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. And then I've only got like 20 hours
And then you've
left.
Only got another like 18 hours to kill after that.
Talking of horror shows, Alison, what's your horror tip for the week?
Also, can I point out, I think that's the first time ever that all 3 of us lit up about a TV show.
Yeah.
Ever. That is very...
Is that it?
Yeah, that's the first time we were all like, ba-bam! Okay, so my horror movie for this week, because I was thinking about toxic relationships. Okay, so the horror movie that
I chose... Single white female.
That is an excellent one, Maureen. That is an excellent choice. I love that you so quickly, you're getting good at this, right?
Yeah,
finding horror
Maureen,
movies that suit. I love it. But the one I did choose, Mother, 2017, starring Jennifer Lawrence as Mother, Javier Bardem as him.
Bardem. Is she a computer?
No. No, no, no. She is a mother. Michelle Pfeiffer as woman, Ed Harris as man. Okay, so a poet and his wife lead a tranquil existence in a burnt-out house. However, when the uninvited guests come barging in, the couple's life turns chaotic and shocking events unfold. This young woman spends her days renovating the Victorian mansion that she lives in with her husband in the countryside. When a stranger knocks on the door one night, he becomes an unexpected guest in their home. Later, his wife and 2 children also arrive and make themselves at home. Terror soon strikes when the wife tries to figure out why her husband is so seemingly friendly and accommodating to everyone but her. This movie took me on a journey that I was not expecting.
I've seen this film. I've just realized I've seen this film.
Yeah. It's a weird one. Some people would go, is it a horror? Yes, it's a horror. I believe it is a horror. Yeah. It falls into horror category. It speaks a lot about the relationship, the toxic relationship between Mother Nature and humans, as well as toxic relationships between people in their relationships, how one person takes, the other person gives. I don't want to ruin it because if you go into it knowing that, it makes a lot more sense. So I can't recommend Mother enough. Again, it's not like a jump out scare. If anything, it's anxiety and frustration and yeah.
I really, because I didn't know anything about that film when I started watching it. I think I actually, looking at that, I think I only watched that about a year ago when I was in a hotel somewhere.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what the hell was going on to begin with.
It's bizarre.
I had to Google it. I'll be honest with you. Yep. I was like, I've got to figure out what this thing is about.
Yeah.
Because it is weird. And it does get very surreal and fantastical.
Yeah.
Did I like it? I can't remember. I think it's definitely worth watching.
Look, here's the thing. Some people walk away going, but I think what the movie is, I would say watch it, Google it, look it. But as far as toxic relationships are concerned, this movie summarizes it to me.
Right.
So, yeah. Mother.
Perfect.
Mother. And Jennifer Lawrence is excellent in it. Yeah, excellent.
Check it out. Again, I've got no idea where it's playing. Let's say Amazon Prime.
I'm sure.
I'm pretty sure I saw it on Netflix, actually.
I'm sure. Look, wherever you are in the world, it's out there. It was 2017, so it's not that old. It'll be around.
It's not even old.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Real good.
Thank you very much, Alison. That's a brilliant recommendation. Maureen, I feel sad because we're turning to you for your cultural corner. And I know that next week you're going to be in Australia. So it's going to be harder to find the culture there. No, jokes, guys, jokes. Come on, everybody. Come on, Aussies. Get on board. Having a little cheeky laugh. Everyone looks tense. Please. Don't cancel me yet. Maureen, tell us about your cultural corner. Maureen Younger, she has a corner. It is full of things that we would like to put in our mouths. I don't know what I'm saying.
Wait.
Thanks for that wonderful intro, Jen. Well, as you mentioned, visa permitting, I'm off to Australia. So I've decided to do some Australian TV.
Oh, here we go. Neighbours.
I haven't said Neighbours, but Neighbours, the one soap that I watch. I love Neighbours.
The Sullivans. Do you remember the Sullivans?
I used to love the Sullivans. Actually, talking of which, the guy who played John Sullivan is in one of the shows that I'm mentioning later. I used to fancy him. Right, so Colin from Accounts I watched, which I don't know if you've seen.
Oh, Colin from Accounts. What a great show. And
I
loved it.
I didn't see it because I was like, oh, I don't want to see something about an accountant. Anyway, that's completely... Colin from Accounts isn't from Accounts. So,
yeah.
It's a really funny series.
It's got nothing to do with Accounts.
Yeah, starring Harriet Dyer, Patrick Bramall. Have you seen it, Alison?
No, I've never even heard
really,
of it.
Really, really funny. It's on the BBC. Okay. Ashley and Gordon meet thanks to a car accident and an injured dog. So it's this kind of odd couple that meet together. There's some really... I've only seen the first two episodes with the mother from hell in the second one. It's really laugh out loud at moments.
It's great. It's the great. Whole series is really fantastic. And there's one episode, because he's also, like, there's a will they, won't they between the two characters. By the way, they're together in real life. Spoiler. But there's a will they, won't they throughout the series. And he's, you know, older than her, you know, by about 10, 15 years or whatever. And so there's one episode where she has a birthday or she has a party in his bar and invites all of her young friends. And he's really insecure about the fact that he's a bit older. So he tries to dress young. And it's, God. And it's just his mate that he owns this bar with, who's this lesbian, who, like, her lines every time she sees what he's wearing is like, it's just brilliant. It's so funny. The characters are really lovable.
Yeah.
You're really invested in them. The dog's cute. And it's just very funny. I think that's a great show. And I think, well, I don't know what's happening with series two, but I know series two will be out at some point because it did get recommissioned. But I loved it. I really, really loved it.
I love the sound of that. Sorry, Maureen, you don't mean to cut in, but I love the sound of a couple. I always think this, a couple playing two different people kind of falling in love or will they, won't they? If you're in real life, they're a couple, but it's like you're getting paid to role play. I think that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah. A bit weird that there's an audience, but
hey, is it? Who knows?
Whatever. Get your kicks ready.
If you like Colin from Accounts, you'll love this one. I actually I've watched the first episode. I think it's funnier than Colin from Accounts. It stars the same people, Harriet Dyer and Patrick Bramall. It's called No Activity, and it's a series about two detectives on a stakeout. And apparently, when nothing's happening, they just say no activity. It's really, really, again, laugh out funny. There's two set pieces, which just... One of the cop, Patrick Bramwell's cop, is like he's a really dedicated cop. The other one is in the wrong job. He's not really made to be a detective. And he tells this kind of story where he doesn't get the subtext. And it's just really, because obviously he's a detective, it's really, really funny. And there's another set piece which reminded me of Me and Jen, where this guy tells a story and the guy goes, no, you've told it wrong. You've done the punchline first. And then he retells the story. I don't know why that reminded me of Jen. And
I don't know why.
But then there's the topper on that joke, which I did not see coming, is hilarious. So Patrick Bramall is a detective and Harriet Dyer plays this. I'm going to read this out because you don't know this by the end of the first episode, but I thought you'd appreciate. Harriet Dyer is April, a young police officer on dispatch duty who is waiting for reinstatement into active duty after she tasered a man to death because he did not listen or take her seriously.
Fair enough.
All right. I see nothing wrong with that.
I thought Jen would go for that. And then the third one, I thought Jen would be like, yeah, sounds fair enough. The third one, again, stars Patrick Bramall. So I'm doing a Patrick Bramall series now, called Glitch, which is a police officer in a small country town. And he comes across, he has to go to a cemetery. There's been a reports of something happening in the cemetery. And seven corpses have come back from the dead.
What?
Yeah, it's really good. Honestly, I've only watched the first episode. I've downloaded everything else. It's really good. So he goes to the, he doesn't realise they're corpses at first. So these seven bodies appear. They're all covered in mud. He doesn't know what's going on. And then there's a couple of really good twists at the end. And it turns out these are all dead people who've come back to life.
Ooh, okay. That sounds good.
Honestly, I, again, didn't look at my phone. It's really, really well done. And it's very different from him because he's obviously playing quite in a, this is obviously a drama. He's playing quite an emotional part at points. And it's just the sudden realisation that these are people, these people are were corpses and they've come back to life. I would totally recommend that. That's on, it's on BBC as well. And then ones I've mentioned before, Mystery Road, starring Aaron Penderson. Absolutely fantastic. There's a new one coming out. The origin story starring Mark Cole-Smith, who plays a younger version of Jay Swan. The Newsreader, which I thought is really good. That's on BBC. There's another series. And Secret City, I thought was great. With Anna Torv as Jonas Harriet Dunkley, who uncovers conspiracies that threaten her career and her life. A lot of good Aussie programmes there. Ooh. I think you both love... No, Jen, you really love No Activity. And I think Glitch, you'd both love Glitch.
Okay. That sounds great.
Great.
I can also add to that. So there's only two series, but it's definitely worth watching. It's an Aussie UK co-production by Sarah Kendall. It's on Sky or Now TV or HBO if you've got it. And it's called Frayed. That is brilliant. I think I've talked about it on WTB before.
Yeah. How's that spelled?
Frayed. Frayed.
Okay.
It's really funny. So funny. If only for Sarah's haircut in it, which is out of this world, triangular. But it's set in the 80s in Australia, in Newcastle. And partly in London, partly in Newcastle in Australia. And it is so, so, so funny. So it's got British actors and Aussie actors in it. So it's definitely worth checking that out as well. Maureen, thank you very much for your cultural corner.
Yay. All right. We have been cultured. We have bonded over a TV series for the first time ever in all the years that we've done this. But let's get, are we going back to the beginning, Jen? Are you going to talk about the goat that you were going to talk
yes.
about? Yeah. Jen, what the hell's getting your goat? I want to know.
I'm losing everything. I cannot find anything. I don't know where anything is. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I am. I can't take it anymore. So that's me getting my goat. There we are. I tell you what's getting my goat. I don't know if I've talked about this before, but I feel like it's worthy of a second round. Let's talk about it again.
Yeah.
These things do pop up again, don't they?
Yeah.
I, as I said to you, went to this cafe with Chloe and I wanted to order a potato and onion thing. Chloe said, oh, that sounds lovely. I might get such and such. And I went, okay, but I'm going to get the potato and onion, blah, blah, blah. She said, okay, well, you sit down and I'll order it for us. I said, great. So I sit down. Chloe says, they're bringing it over. I said, okay, this is all, I mean, everything so far, so good. They bring over the coffees, delicious. I love coffee. Then they bring over one potato, an onion, pastry thing. I said, oh, great, my potato and onion pastry thing has arrived. And Chloe said, oh, no, we're sharing it. I said, what? She said, oh, we're sharing it. I thought we could share it. I said, I don't share food. You know that. Do you want me to buy you one? I'll buy you one. I'll buy you three, but this one's mine. No. We're going to share it. So I had to share the potato and onion pastry thing that, by the way, I had been looking forward to up until that point. I was like, well, I can't wait for my potato and onion pastry thing. I'd been for a swim in the freezing cold sea. I was hungry.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't eaten. By the way, the potato and onion pastry thing, it's not huge. I can eat it solo. I had to share it with Chloe. I had to share it with her. I know what you're thinking. Why didn't you then go out and get another potato and onion pastry thing. Because we didn't have time. We didn't have time. We had to get back because Chloe had to go and do her art class thing. And I had to get back for a phone call. So we didn't have time to then go, can you now stick this in the grill thing and eat it up? It was too late. We'd run out of time. So I had to share my potato and onion pastry thing, which wouldn't have been so bad if it hadn't been for the fact that it was absolutely one of the most incredibly tasty things I've ever put inside my mouth.
Yeah.
I was like eating this thing going, oh my God, how can potatoes and onion and pastry taste this good? It doesn't make sense. It was the most delicious. Even thinking about it now, I'm like, wow, it was a culinary, delectational delight. It was absolutely banging is what I'm trying to say. And I was eating this whilst being cross with Chloe going, this is absolutely delicious. I can't believe I've got to share it with you. Oh, isn't this absolutely the best thing we've ever had in the morning? I mean, the fact that you're eating half of it is just annoying me. It was like that. So it was a real kind of, oh, we're really enjoying it. Chloe was like, maybe let it go and just enjoy half of the pastry thing. But I couldn't let it go, I'm afraid.
So. You're like, I'll make a note of that and I'll talk about that on the next podcast.
I did think, well, at least I've got to go out of it.
I agree. I'd be annoyed. I don't like sharing. I think the new rule is no more letting her do the ordering. She goes and chooses the seats. Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine if I'd done that to you, Maureen? You'd have, well, oh, no, you'd stabbed me with a fork.
It wouldn't have happened, though, would it? I'd be like, you're not sharing it.
No.
I would have gotten up and just gone. Although, like you said, there was a lack of time. I mean, that is a twist that would have.
Well, look, I know a lot of people love sharing food and it's a joy to share their food. I come from I've got three brothers. So I did nothing but share my food.
You fought for your food, Jen, is what you did. You fought for your food.
Yeah. So now I'm an adult. I'm like, get your own fucking food. And actually, half the time I'll be like, I will buy you whatever you want so you can have your... I said, Chloe's constantly like, I'll get this, you get that, and then we'll have half of each. No. I'll get this. I'll eat all of it. The end.
Yeah.
Okay. No sharing food. Fuck that. Anyway, that was my goat. But what we did get that was very positive out of it was a new cafe to go to after swimming, which is brilliant. And I'm going to go back there and have a potato and onion pastry thing.
I want one of these potato and onion pastry things now.
I will take you. Listen, if you come to Brighton, we'll go for a swim. Yep. And then I'll take you for a coffee and a pastry or a cake thing. Maureen will not even know what to choose. There's too many cakes. She makes all of her own cakes.
I could have a selection. Absolutely.
You could actually. You could just
What's
say,
the name of the cafe? Should we plug the cafe? Do you remember the name of it?
Oh, I don't remember the name.
Okay, never mind. We won't plug the cafe.
It's absolute classic, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't.
Also,
oh, yeah.
I don't want people to know about it.
Sorry.
No. You're right.
Don't blow up the spot.
Got a hot.
You're right. You're right.
Thank you, Alex. I can't be like telling every old passerby about these fantastic potato and onion pastry delights.
You got to hold on to that.
Right. That looks great, Maureen. Maureen's now sporting her cat's outfit. Never looked better, actually. If you do ever need an item of clothing that goes in between your tits but not around them, this is the perfect item for you. And have a little look on www.catclothes.co.uk. That's not a real website, by the way, so don't do that.
Women talking bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Oh, you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats. Will that do?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.